I was about 2 weeks away from being 7 when King was shot, Martin Luther King. And I remember the day, like, clearly. And I remember looking at my hand and, like, seeing my skin color and, like, just, it, like, knowing that I could die or that someone would harm me just because of my skin color, and it made no sense. So I think that bullet that hit Martin Luther King, though it did not hit me, it wounded me deeply, deeply wounded me. And I feel like for much of my life after that, I was in like a psychological fetal position. JC Falk is my name. I am the CEO of Circles of Voices and the executive director of An End to Ignorance. I kind of marry two things, activism and diversity and inclusion. I have a daughter, she's 23 years old. She's the most important thing, person to me in the world and will always be. I've been a single parent since she was 5, so for 18 years. It's been me and her. And I've expanded myself and become all kinds of things because I've been her father. I've been in Baltimore for about 10 years. My daughter wanted to go to the Baltimore School for the Arts because Jada Pinkett Smith and Tupac Shakur went there, you know? And so I moved to Baltimore so she can have that experience. And then after the murder of Freddie Gray, I became an activist. And I was standing in front of the CVS when it was burning and feeling more like a tourist than anything else with my camera, taking pictures, taking video footage of it. And being up there shifted something dramatically in me. So I'm standing there while it's on fire, arm in arm with other citizens. And then curfew started, you know, not long after that. They had tanks out there and they were literally aiming guns at us. And listen, the uprising, there were no bullets shot. It was just a fire. So the first night I was like, you know, I don't think I want to go out like this. I'm going home. You know, that. No way, man. And then second night I did the same thing. And then the third night, I met this young lady up there who was a Miami University student. She was 21. I don't even know her name. And I said, are you staying or are you leaving? I think you should go. You know, she was like, no, I'm staying. I was like, why would you stay up here? And she said something like, I'm never going to be able to see this again. And then the whole day, the next day, I thought about that. And I went up the third night and I stayed. And it shifted me out of that shell that I was in and back out into the world. And my voice has been really loud as shit since then. The only thing that I worry about deeply, deeply is the, if I go, if I die, doing the work that I do, because I could. You know, I worry about my daughter and the impact it'll have on her. Outside of that, I'd rather live 3 or 4 years doing this shit than be hiding behind my couch because I'm afraid. She'll be able to look at this stuff with my grandkids and go, that's your granddaddy. That dude was the beast, you know? Like, she'll be able to look and go, that dude right there, he was fighting for this stuff to change. That dude. I don't want to be some nice old granddaddy sitting back drinking my sherry and shit, you know, at the coffee table and, like, going, I should have done that. I should have done this. Why did I miss the uprising? No. I want to run into the fire, you know, and like, do everything that I can to change this horrible dynamic, this horrible country. I do not claim that I can end racism. It's not gonna end in my lifetime. It's just not. But it will be nicked at wherever I am. It will be nicked at and poked at and punched around, you know, where in whatever spaces that I am, so people can see stuff from a different perspective.